And do you know how many people would probably, like, run away at the sight of dismembered legs?
Yeah. Dude, there's a 4-foot bong and a bag of wheat by your bed.
Tiddlywinks, the parlor game for nerds, is nearing extinction.
It's in my pot! It's in my pot!
I will find proof.
I'm very easily startled, Mr. Fingerman. I don't know which regulation body would regulate the penis ring that you were talking about earlier.
I'm ready to remain conscious as we record this show.
Hey, welcome to Medical Stuff. My name is Mark. You know, it's still not really getting that hard, Frankum. And that is Chris. You really need to stop talking about the Sphinx. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. You know what? That's a lie. You can talk about that stuff with me anytime you need to. Because if not me, who else?
Right. Nobody else. Everybody else hangs up on me.
Or maybe you can talk to Bob volume. Miles on Positive Light. I'm just joking.
Yeah.
That's my
segue. We do want to talk about something that's exciting this week at Mark My Words Media, is that we are going to be starting with a second podcast. Not Chris and I, but a friend of ours, the unfortunate fellow we talked about last week, who never has to worry about his football team going to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a friend of ours named Bob Miles, and he's going to be starting a podcast called Positive Light Podcast. This is more of a faith-based podcast where he's going to be exploring his relationship with God and other people's relationship with God through interviews of people who have turned their life around. So if you would like to give it a listen, the first episode is launching tomorrow morning, the 10th of February, 2020, and it's going to be at https://positive-light.simplecast.com. It is coming to all your favorite podcast hosting sites. He's just waiting on some confirmations back from those. But if you want to be, you know, one of the founder listeners, then that's where you can find it and live stream it straight from the website. So
yeah,
let's all give Bob our best wishes. And if you listen to the podcast, you like it, please, once he gets it confirmed up on the other sites, go give him some 5-star reviews. So that's Positive Light Podcast.
Woohoo!
One thing Bob and I did talk about is, you know, for our listeners, this one will be safe for work.
yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, you can play on your speakers at work and you will not hear any swear words. Bob's a good, solid Christian man. He's the only one in dispatch who still blushes when somebody mentions breasts. So,
right. And, you know, I would point this out, though. I would almost like to see someone make a Christian podcast that wasn't safe for work. I want to know what that one sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. I would definitely investigate that.
Right. Well, so
anyway,
today,
this week, we're going to be finishing up sexual disorder of the female kind.
Dysfunction.
Mm-hmm. Dysfunctionality.
Yeah.
Dysfunctionness. Okay. So female sexual disorders. Persistent recurrent problems with a sexual response, desire, orgasm, or pain that distress you or restrain your relationship with your partner are known medically as sexual dysfunction.
And many women experience problems with sexual function at some point. Oh. And some have difficulties throughout their lives. Female sexual dysfunction can occur at any stage of your life. It can also occur only in certain sexual situations, or it can occur in all sexual situations.
Oh, were you doing this paragraph by paragraph?
I just want to try and see what happened.
Okay, that's cool. Sexual response involves a complex interplay of physiology, emotions, experiences, beliefs, and lifestyles, and relationships. Disruption of any component can affect sexual desire, arousal, or satisfaction, and treatment often involves more than one approach.
So there are some different symptoms when it comes to sexual dysfunction. Symptoms vary depending on...
I want to try this word by word.
Symptoms
vary
depending
on
what
type
of
sexual
dysfunction
you're
experiencing.
Let's go back to paragraph.
Yeah.
I felt myself turning off the podcast while it was going on.
So low sexual desire. So this is actually the most common of female sexual dysfunctions, and it involves just a lack of sexual interest, period, or willingness to be sexual. There's sexual arousal disorder. Your desire for sex might be intact, but you have difficulty with arousal, or you're unable to become aroused or maintain arousal during sexual activity. Then you have orgasmic disorder. You have persistent or recurrent difficulty achieving orgasm after sufficient sexual arousal and ongoing stimulation. There is nothing more sexy, though, than describing your foreplay as sufficient sexual arousal. I tell you, if you want to get the ladies ready.
Sufficient.
Right, exactly. All right, I'll chalk that up as a sufficient. It's like when you get your employee review and they mark satisfactory. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
Two things you don't want to hear: that it was a sufficient sexual arousal and that something below your waist was cute.
You've got a cute penis. Oh, God.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks. That's awesome. I need my penis pump. If you listen to our last episode, though, a penis pump will not make your willy larger. Will not work. Nope. So, sexual pain disorder. You have pain associated with sexual stimulation or vaginal contact. I'll do some more on that later. So, what are some causes? Well, sexual problems often develop when your hormones are in flux, such as after having a baby or during...
Which is funny because in blacksmithing, flux is actually boric acid.
Do not put your hormones in boric acid. That's basically what we're trying to tell you.
No, yeah. Or boric acid in your hormones, for that matter. I mean, that's...
Absolutely. Because that will probably cause all sorts of problems, sexual being the least of your worries.
Exactly.
But after having a baby is when your hormones are going to be, let's just say, adjusted. Or during menopause. So major illness like cancer, diabetes, heart, blood vessel disease can also contribute to sexual dysfunction.
Wow. Chris also, is really interested.
So can disinterest. Anyway. So factors. A lot of them are often interrelated that can contribute to sexual dissatisfaction or dysfunction can include physical factors. Any number of medical conditions, including cancer, kidney failure, multiple sclerosis, heart disease, bladder problems, can lead to sexual dysfunction. Certain medications like antidepressants, blood pressure medications, antihistamines, some chemotherapy drugs can also decrease your sexual desire and your body's ability to experience orgasm. There are hormonal factors. These are like lower estrogen levels after menopause. That can lead to changes in your sexual desire.
That's not what it says on the screen.
Well, I'm not reading it verbatim, Mark.
Apparently.
In your genital, there could also hormonal lower estrogen levels after menopause may lead to changes in your genital tissues and sexual responsiveness. A decrease in estrogen leads to decreased blood flow to the pelvic region in general, and that can result in less genital sensation as well as needing more time to build arousal and reach orgasm. The vaginal lining also becomes thinner and less elastic, particularly if you're not sexually active. These factors can lead to painful intercourse, also known as dyspareunia. Dyspareunia? Sure. Did I get that right? Painful intercourse. Sexual desire also decreases when hormonal levels decrease. Your body's hormone levels also shift after giving birth and during breastfeeding, which can also lead to vaginal dryness, which can also affect your desire to have sex.
A friend of mine's mom, who had been single for a while, had said that she needs to find a boyfriend because she'd read somewhere that if you don't use it, it closes over. She was joking.
I was going to say, this is why we have sex ed in high school. Right there.
Yeah.
Or middle school, whenever it happens.
Yeah. No, she was joking when she said that.
Thank God. Thank goodness. But there are people out there who probably would say that and aren't joking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of misinformation about sex out there. I remember having the sex talk with my daughter and reading some of the things that, because I told her straight up, men are pigs and they will say just about anything to try and get your pants. And a couple of the fun ones I brought up with her was that, because I told her, I said, hey, if you have penetrative vaginal sex with a penis, you can get pregnant.
Right.
But guys have been known to tell women things like, if you drink ice water right after sex, it freezes your internal organs and you can't get pregnant. And then a person I was working with recently told me the one that he heard that he thought was pretty funny was, if you do it late at night, then the sperm are asleep.
That one's true.
Right.
That one's actually true, 100%.
So psychological and social.
I'm just going to point, no one's ever gotten pregnant after midnight. That's a fact.
It's like a Mogwai. Untreated anxiety or depression can cause or contribute to sexual dysfunction, as can long-term stress and history of sexual abuse. The worries of pregnancy, demands of being a new mother may have similar effects. Long-standing conflicts with your partner about sex or other aspects of your relationship can diminish your sexual responsiveness as well. Cultural and religious issues and problems with body image can also contribute. All of this is very, very true. The pregnancy, the demands. If you have any questions about what can happen after a pregnancy, we have an OBGYN. I just can't bring myself to say that other term anymore because I feel so inadequate every single time I do.
And I don't want to say it because then obviously there'll be no one left to carry the show.
But we also have an excellent episode on postpartum depression. If you'd like to go back and listen to that, I felt was fairly in-depth about what can go on and when it's time to seek help with postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. One of the things that is often talked about is the change in perception that women have about their bodies. You know, pre-child, it, you know, it could be sexy time. After child, no longer breasts, they're feeding stations. Or, you know, the reality of the purpose of the different sexual parts can change. Yeah, you know, the perception of what, you know, what they're there for, which can diminish, you know, the woman's ability to feel sexy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I don't even want to get into culture and religious issues here because a lot of that will just irritate me.
Okay.
Some of the. Well, so I guess I'm going to get into it.
There we go. Let's do it.
Just cultural treatment of women, religious treatment of women, and how that will negatively affect a woman's self-perception, unfortunately, or their ability to speak their mind. I just. Is abhorrent in my mind. So
there I agree. Go.
Risk factors.
I agree. I do want to clarify one thing, though. We are not saying that religion on its face does this to women. We are saying that there are those who practice and in the name of religion use that to oppress women.
Right.
Which is wrong.
No. Yes, that is wrong. No, not the religion itself and not your particular belief in a deity is the problem. It's the way it's twisted by some people. So. Moving on.
So.
Risk factors.
Yeah. So depression or anxiety, like we mentioned, especially if it's not being treated. Please, by the way, small tangent. We hit this tangent a lot, but it can never be said enough. Mental health is health. It's there. You know, don't worry about it. There should be no stigma behind seeing a counselor because quite frankly, everyone in their lifetime will have some need at some point in their life to talk to somebody, and there's nothing wrong in doing that. So heart and blood vessel disease is another factor. Neurological conditions like a spinal cord injury or multiple sclerosis that can affect sensation. Gynecological conditions such as vulvovaginal atrophy, infections, or lichen sclerosis. Certain medications such as antidepressants, high blood pressure medications, emotional or psychological stress, especially with regard to your relationship with your partner, and a history of sexual abuse. Non-medical treatments for female sexual dysfunction. So to treat sexual dysfunction, your doctor might recommend that you start with a couple of these strategies. So first off, talk and listen. I think Mark hit on this quite a bit in the last episode too, is being open and honest. So openly communicate with your partner, and that can make a world of difference in your sexual satisfaction. Even if you're not, used to talking about your likes and dislikes, learning to do so and providing feedback in a non-threatening way can set the stage for greater intimacy. Practice healthy lifestyle.
Hopefully, everybody is there to have the best time possible.
Absolutely.
And if you're not having the best time possible, you know, hopefully you can get a situation together where you can have that discussion so that everybody's enjoying it as much as possible. You know.
Nice try, Mark. It.
What?
You texted me. And no. I had my phone on silent. I almost feel like sexual openness should be something you should try and hit on early on. Because you don't want to like... You don't want to find yourself like getting married and then all of a sudden she's like, hey, look, I really want to bring peanut butter into the bedroom. And you're like, wait a second.
I'm not saying no.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, it should be.
I'm just saying crunchy or smooth. That's right. Yeah. So practice.
No, it should be early on. You know, I think I said in the last episode, you know, don't hopefully you're not in a relationship where you feel you have to fake anything or agree to things that you're not comfortable with.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
Like I said, everybody should have a great time.
Yeah. Practice healthy lifestyle habits. Limit alcohol. Drinking too much can blunt your sexual responsiveness, not just for women, but I believe we've talked about whiskey dick on this podcast. Probably the last episode, and it's a real thing. Be physically active. Regular physical activity can increase your stamina, elevate your mood, can enhance your romantic feelings. Learn ways to decrease stress so you can focus on and enjoy your sexual experiences. And it doesn't say it specifically here, but stop smoking if you are. Seek counseling. Talk with a counselor or therapist who specializes in sexual and relationship problems. Therapy often includes education about how to optimize your body's sexual response, ways to enhance intimacy with your partner, and recommendations for reading materials or couples exercises. Lubricant. You can use a lubricant. Vaginal lubricant may be helpful during intercourse if you have vaginal dryness or pain during sex. You could try a device. Arousal may be enhanced with stimulation of the clitoris. Use a vibrator to provide clitoral stimulation. Whenever I hear the word device, I think my mind just goes right back to like Frankenstein and Igor throwing a giant switch. And so it says, try a device.
Chris apparently like, can only have sex during an electrical storm.
And there has to be an assistant.
I will say something about lubricant. Try and figure out a way to warm it up.
Some of it's actually warming. You can buy stuff that is that's
well. Warm. I meant like actual physical. So when you're touching each other, it's not cold.
Well, yeah, but like some of it, like that's like it touches your skin and it's like a warming thing.
That sounds sketch.
No, it's not. It's pretty common. There's some of it's crazy because you get it on your hand. You're like, why are my hands warm? It's pretty nuts. For a while,
don't get on your nuts.
No, it's fine if you do. It's not like hot. You're not. It's not producing chemical burns. Like that's not what's happening.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So is this like a menthol or a?
No, it is the opposite of a menthol. That would be kind of burning. That would be kind of toothpastey.
An ethanol?
No, it's just go. Depends on how I'm dressed.
Don't limit me.
Yeah. No, I mean, just go get some and just self-warm. Here we go.
Just a second.
Play around with it.
Active ingredient in warming lubricant.
Oh, here we go.
glycerol.
There you go.
It's a viscous sugar alcohol. So double check with your doctor if you're diabetic whether you should be using this. Ooh.
There you go.
Some of them include capsaicin.
I can see that.
Yeah, but do you really want to put that on your wanger or, you know, on your woman?
It doesn't burn. Moving on. All right. Did anyone want to
so many glimpses into our personal lives here?
Yeah, too many. effective treatment for sexual dysfunction often requires addressing an underlying medical condition or hormonal change. Your doctor may suggest changing a medication you're taking or prescribing a new one. Treating female sexual dysfunction linked to hormonal cause might include, take it away, Mark.
Estrogen therapy. Localized estrogen therapy comes from in the form of a vaginal ring, bong, a cream or a tablet. The tablet, I don't know why, it just makes me laugh. The thought of there's no good reason for it. I don't know why that.
Are you thinking like an iPad? Like,
No. I'm just thinking of like, actually, I don't know. I guess it's, I don't know. There's just something about that makes me laugh, that putting a tablet into your vagina. No good explanation for it. There's nothing
like
wrong with
like
it.
Like an Alka-Seltzer commercial, but it's just a lady sitting at a desk, and all you hear is a fizz. They're like, well, where is it? Oh.
Yeah. I guess I mixed those two up again. This therapy benefits sexual function by improving vaginal tone and elasticity, increasing vaginal blood flow, and
when
enhancing
lubrication.
You say vaginal
tone, you mean like it's nicer? Or like,
bong.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. that's so you get better vaginal tone from the vaginal ring. See?
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, see? Because we are medical professionals and we know what we're talking about.
We make all sorts of jokes like this.
The risk of hormone therapy may vary depending on your age, your risk of other health issues such as heart and blood vessel disease and cancer, the dose and type of hormone, and whether estrogen is given alone or with progestin. Talk to your doctor about benefits and risks. In some cases, hormone therapy may require close monitoring by your doctor. Let's see. Ospemifene, or Osfina. This medication is a selective estrogen receptor modulator. The Illidium Q36 modulator.
That's, again, we're kind of back. Now I have just like science fiction. Never mind.
The Illidium Q36 explosive space modulator. I'm going to blow up the Earth. It blocks my view of Venus. And who is that?
That is Marvin the Martian.
That is Marvin the Martian.
Yeah.
It helps reduce pain during sex for women with vulvovaginal atrophy. Androgen therapies. Androgens include testosterone. Testosterone plays a role in healthy sexual function in women as well as men, although women have much lower levels of testosterone. Androgen therapy for sexual dysfunction is controversial. Some studies show a benefit to women who have low testosterone levels and develop sexual dysfunction. Other studies have shown little or no benefit. Yay, science.
Yay, science.
Flibanserin.
Me too.
Which is Adyai? Sure. Originally developed as an antidepressant, Flibanserin is approved by the FDA as a treatment for low sexual desire in premenopausal women.
And by the way, I know you don't need me to tell you this. This is the exact reason I was like, yeah, and Mark's turn. big words scare me.
I'm always interested by drugs that were developed for something and then are used for something completely different.
Yeah. I mean, I can see why. And that's where
they make the big money.
I can see how it would happen. Like someone's like, yeah, hey, I've been noticing that my patients that I've been giving this to are now like, you know, for like when they were probably, well, for example, we talked about how Viagra was originally being developed as a nitrate to treat chest pain or angina. Mm-hmm. And then someone noticed a side effect. It was like, hey, wait, I got an idea how we can market this.
Right. Well, what's the hair cream?
Oh, Rogaine.
Rogaine. That was an antihypertensive.
Oh, I didn't know initially. That.
Yeah. I hope I'm right. But yeah, it was, and so one of the side effects that they found from it were people were growing more hair in the areas that they was being applied.
Wow.
Make sure I'm right. Rogaine original use. I pull this stuff out. Minoxidil is originally used for treating high blood pressure, but patients and healthcare providers noticed that hair growth was a side effect of the treatment. Oh, then that led to a development of a topical minoxidil for treatment of male pattern baldness.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And I would say 100% of the people that use minoxidil now don't use it for antihypertensive. It makes me wonder if it wasn't a great antihypertensive, and they're like, well, God damn it. And somebody goes, hey, I got an email the other day. So Adyai is a daily pill, and it may boost sex drive in women who experience low sexual desire and find it distressing. Potentially serious side effects include low blood pressure, yikes, sleepiness, nausea, fatigue, dizziness, fainting, particularly if the drug is mixed with alcohol. Experts recommend that you stop taking the drug if you notice an improvement in, if you don't notice an improvement in your sex drive after 8 weeks. If apparently you've survived that 8 weeks, geez.
Wow.
Seems pretty extreme.
Yeah, it seems like a long trial period.
Yeah. So, sexual pain disorder symptoms. Let me see something here. How far? Yikes. It's going to be kind of a short show, dude.
It's all right. We have short shows.
So, yeah. If you have painful intercourse, you might feel pain only at sexual entry during penetration.
Penetration.
Pain with every penetration, including putting in a tampon.
Consider using lubrication.
So, I was talking to another crew the other day about McGill forceps.
In case anyone was curious, yes, that was Metallica's Sanitarium.
And the medic that I was talking to was talking about how many, many moons ago he was on scene and a fire department. A lady had aggressively inserted a tampon to the point where it was lodged.
Aggressively? And, like
well, they... hard enough it was lodged.
Okay,
fair enough. She couldn't get it out. You know, I mean, to me, that's pretty aggressive.
I just imagine someone loading a Nerf gun with a tampon and...
Yeah, well, no, not that aggressively. You know, it wasn't, you know. But anyway, so this crew decided that using the McGills to get it out was the way to go. this fire crew?
You know what? That's not my scope. There is an ER doctor somewhere that can deal with that shit.
Right. And apparently the lieutenant became an engineer and the medic became just a firefighter after that.
Well, there you go. Yeah, that. Yep.
Yeah. I'm like, hopefully she got transported because you still have the potential toxic shock.
Yep. And who knows if you removed the whole thing. I mean,
there is a very entertaining video from Australia. And it's these two guys who kind of bump into each other.
It's a weird segue, by the way.
You'll see. You'll see how it goes. Fair enough. it ties in pretty much. Speaking of tampons. Anyway, they bump into their friends. They bump into each other like in a parking lot of a grocery store or shopping mall or something like that, right? And they're like, hey, man, how you doing? He's like, oh, pretty good. What you doing? Oh, yeah, just picking up some products for my wife. So they end up having a very frank discussion about their wives' periods and the different products they use. And how disgusted they are that in certain countries, well, even in this country, that there is an added tax on tampons because they're looked upon as a luxury. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yes. And it's called the pink tax here in America.
But this is a thing here in the good old US of A?
Yeah.
What? Wow. Yeah. Anyway, keep going.
I believe it is. But anyway, they're like, because it's a luxury item, and they're having this huge, I mean, talking about flows and different things and what the different ones do. And, I mean, that's not what I wanted. So, it's just as funny in the fact that they're just so open about something that most men would usually be really freaked out about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And towards the end of it, one of the guy's wife walks up and she's like, hey, there you go. Hey, John, how you doing? And she's like, hey, come on, we got to get to your doctor's appointment, you know. And he's going in for a prostate check. And that's when the two guys get really weird.
So, I just did a little bit of research. So, pink tax is actually referred to anything that basically where you have additional cost just for being a woman. For example, you know, like tampons or pads, anything that is...
Yeah. Like Gillette will charge so much extra money for women's. Yeah. And then there was one, it was Gillette pins. It was on the Ellen show.
It was Bic. Bic pens.
It was a Bic.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had a set of pens that were geared towards women. They were basically different colors. And they were like twice as expensive as just regular pens.
Oh, yeah.
Looked the same.
Yeah. And so now, as far as a tampon tax, that exists here in the United States of America. However, as of November 9th of 2018, so this is a little bit old, there are currently 5 states, Alaska, Delaware, Montana, New Hampshire, Oregon, actually, then there's a 6th state, Nevada, that have eliminated any additional tax on tampons. And as of June 2019, 12 states specifically exempted essential hygiene products. And that would include Ohio, California, Connecticut, Florida, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New Jersey, New York, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and I have to load. Rhode Island. So, yep. And so basically, yeah, tampons are taxed still in the majority of the United States.
Yeah.
So it's not a specific tampon tax. So let me break it down a little bit more. What it is that it is, so sales tax, these are states with sales tax. So that's why Oregon doesn't have one. What it is that there are certain items that are exempt from sales tax, like food, as long as it's not prepared food, is exempt from sales tax in most states. Most hygiene items are also exempt from sales tax, but tampons were not included in most states. And so now you have more and more states are including tampons as what's considered an essential hygiene product and ergo tax exempt.
Yeah. Okay. So slowly but surely people are coming around
to
the fact that these are not luxuries.
Yeah. A little too slowly.
No, absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So, how far we got to the second line of painful intercourse. Anyway, if you get a chance to see that that video, it's actually really funny the way they're talking about it.
Well, we can put it up on the book face.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So deep pain during thrusting. Burning or we're talking about sexual pain during intercourse, just because there was quite a long digression.
We're not talking. We're not talking about sick dance moves on the floor and having pain from that.
No, that's like a bad back.
Yeah,
deep pain during thrusting, burning pain or aching pain, throbbing pain lasting hours after intercourse. So, some of the causes.
Yeah, so there's some physical causes of painful intercourse. The physical causes of painful intercourse differ depending on whether the pain occurs at entry or with deep thrusting. Emotional factors might also be associated with many types of painful intercourse as well. So, entry pain. So, pain during penetration might be associated with a range of factors, and this includes not enough lubrication. This is often the result of not enough foreplay. A drop in estrogen levels after menopause or childbirth or during breastfeeding also can be a cause. Certain medications are known to affect sexual desire and arousal, which can also decrease lubrication and make sex painful. This includes antidepressants, high blood pressure medications, sedatives, antihistamines, and certain birth control pills. Injury, trauma, or irritation. This includes injury or irritation from an accident, pelvic surgery, female circumcision, or a cut made during childbirth to enlarge the birth canal, also known as an episiotomy.
Have you heard of female circumcision before?
Yes, I have, and that's not something that's typically done. That is
I can't find any medically sound reason for doing it.
No, I don't think there is. I believe it is purely a cultural deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, inflammation, infection, or skin disorder, and an infection of your genital area or urinary tract can cause painful intercourse. Eczema or other skin problems in your genital area can also be the problem. Vaginismus, these involuntary spasms of the muscles of the vaginal wall can make penetration painful. There's some more on that later. And congenital abnormality, a problem present at birth, such as the absence of a fully formed vagina, vaginal agenesis, a development of a membrane that blocks vaginal opening or imperforate hymen could also cause painful entry. So,
sorry, what was that last part?
Painful entry. Deep pain.
No, what was the word?
It's a word that means painful entry.
Are you saying damn it.
Oh, come on. No. Show me up, Mark. Let's hear it.
Dyspareunia. Damn it. I practice this too. That's the part that pisses me off the most. Dyspareunia. Nailed it.
Deep pain.
Nailed it first time. You ever watch the Lego movie?
Yes.
The Batman character, he's throwing a batarang at something, trying to hit it. And he's like, tang, 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 tang. Hits, he goes, nailed it first time. So anyway, moving on. Deep pain.
Deep pain usually occurs with deep penetration. What do I mean usually occurs? If it's not deep penetration, it wouldn't be deep pain, would it? Well, I guess there can be other causes for deep pain that have nothing to do with sex.
Right.
Like PID. That would cause it. Yeah. Anyway, so deep pain usually occurs with deep penetration. It might be worse in certain positions. Causes can include certain illnesses and conditions. So the list includes endometriosis, pelvic inflammatory disease, there we go.
PID.
Yep. Uterine prolapse, retroverted uterus, uterine fibroids, cystitis, irritable bowel syndrome, hemorrhoids, and ovarian cysts. Surgeries or medical treatments can also cause some deep pain. So scarring from a pelvic surgery, including a hysterectomy, can cause painful intercourse. Medical treatments for cancer, such as radiation, chemotherapy, can cause some changes that'll make sex painful as well.
Oh, wow. A retroverted uterus.
Yeah, what is that?
Is uterus tipped towards the back? It's tipped backwards so that it aims towards the rectum instead of forward towards the belly.
That was just a uterus that really liked 80s parties.
Yeah, really. In most cases, a retroverted uterus won't cause any problems during pregnancy, but it can cause painful sex. It's pointing the wrong direction.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Hmm. There's also a retroverted cervix.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that's something very similar. Let's see. Retroverted cervix. Okay, why does it say cervix? It takes me back to uterus. It's also called a tilted uterus. What is a tilted? Okay. So all sorts of stuff that would leave. So the question is, what is a tilted cervix? And the answer is about a tilted uterus. So I'm assuming it's all kind of connected. Well, I mean, I don't know. But,
yeah. And we made fun of a dispatcher once for having some.
No, I understand the anatomy. That's not what I'm saying.
I know. It was just, that was pretty fucking hilarious in my mind.
Surgical and medical treatments, right?
Yep. Go for it. No, we're on emotional factors.
Oh, okay. Emotions are deeply intertwined with sexual activity. Absolutely. So they play a role in sexual pain. Emotional factors include psychological issues. Again, anxiety, depression, concerns about your physical appearance. Fears of intimacy or relationship problems can contribute to a low level of arousal and result in discomfort or pain. Stress. Your pelvic floor muscles tend to tighten in response to stress in your life. This can contribute to pain during sex. History of sexual abuse. Not every woman with dyspareunia.
I have picked the best sections today. I'm just pointing that out.
Huh?
I picked the best sections today. I think I did good on my choosing.
Why? Because you can't say dyspareunia. God damn it, dyspareunia. I even practiced it like four times
there. I am loving this right now.
Dyspareunia has a history of sexual abuse, but if you've been abused, so not every woman has a history of sexual abuse, but if you have, it can play a role. If you have been sexually abused or are being sexually abused, please seek counseling.
If you're being sexually abused, you should seek the police as well.
I absolutely should contact the police. Unfortunately, there has been a history of police being unresponsive to these complaints. And so you should absolutely go to the police 100%. And on top of that, you should absolutely seek sexual counseling for it. So, and what it takes to get out of that situation, explore that option, because nobody deserves to be abused in any way, shape, or form in a relationship. Certain non-medication therapies also might help with your dyspareunia. Damn it. God damn it, Chris, you're up.
He's tapping out. Desensitization. It's funny because, like, in my head, I know what I want to say, but if I look at the word written down, I can't do it.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
Dyspareunia.
Yeah.
Dyspareunia.
Desensitization therapy. You learn.
Dyspareunia.
So with desensitization therapy, you learn vaginal relaxation exercises that can decrease pain, counseling, or sex therapy. If sex has been painful for some time, you might have a negative emotional response to sexual stimulation even after treatment. If you and your partner have avoided intimacy because of painful intercourse, you might also need help improving communication with your partner and restoring sexual intimacy. Talking to a counselor or sex therapist can help resolve these issues. Cognitive behavioral therapy can also be helpful in changing negative thought patterns and behaviors. So, vaginismus. In vaginismus, vaginal muscles tighten involuntarily despite a woman's desire for sexual intercourse. Vaginismus usually begins when women first attempt to have sexual intercourse. However, it sometimes develops later, for example, when another factor makes intercourse painful for the first time, or when women attempt intercourse while they are emotionally distressed. Because intercourse may be painful, women may fear it. This fear makes muscles even tighter and causes or increases pain when sexual intercourse is attempted. A reflex reaction develops so that when the vagina is pressed or sometimes even just touched, the vaginal muscles automatically, this would be reflexively, tighten. Most women thus cannot tolerate sexual intercourse or any sexual activity that involves most women with vaginismus or sexual activity that involves penetrations. So some women with vaginismus cannot tolerate the insertion of a tampon or have never wanted to try. However, most women with vaginismus enjoy sexual activity that does not involve penetration. So, treatment for vaginismus. Treatment aims to lessen the reflexive tightening of vaginal muscles and the fear of pain that occurs when the vagina and surrounding areas are touched. To weaken this reflex, women with vaginismus are instructed to do certain touching exercises. At first, women touch an area as close to the vaginal opening as they can without causing any pain. Each day, They should move a little closer to the opening, slowly increasing how close they can come to the vagina without causing pain. When they can touch the tissues around the opening, called the labia, they can practice opening the labia. Women are encouraged to use a mirror to see their genitals, and they are taught to bear down as if when having a bowel movement, which makes vaginal opening larger so that it can be seen more easily. Eventually, women can touch the vaginal opening without causing any pain. They are then instructed to insert their finger into the vagina, pushing or bearing down while inserting the finger into the enlarged opening and making insertion easier. When they can do these exercises and experience no pain, they can start to use cone-shaped inserts, which are placed in the vagina. An insert is left in for 10 to 15 minutes, and the vaginal muscles become used to pressure. As women become comfortable with an insert, they use progressively larger inserts, which gradually increase the pressure in the vagina. Eventually, women invite their partner to place an insert into the vagina. Thus, women learn to relax the vaginal muscles and override reflexive tightening. Once the partner can insert the cone without causing any pain, the couple's sexual, like saxophone for half a second there.
Activity. Well, you know, a little Michael Bolton may not hurt.
Yeah, you know, Bill Clinton also played the saxophone.
See, and now you're killing the whole theory.
Any of these cones look like Cuban cigars. Anyway, all right, moving on. The couple's sexual activities include touching the women's genital area. Once a partner can insert the cone without causing pain, the couple's sexual activity can include touching the woman's genital area with the partner's penis, but without it entering the vagina. Only after completing these steps should the couple try intercourse again. Doctors usually recommend that women hold their partner's penis and place it partly or completely in their vagina in the same way they would place the insert. Some women are more comfortable being on top during intercourse at this point. This process may make some men overly cautious and too reluctant to push, or they may lose their erection. They may benefit from a phosphodiesterase inhibitor such as sildenafil, tadalafil, or vardenafil. It's Viagra, right. Levitra, and Cialis, I believe, are what those are.
Right. Well, erectile dysfunction medication, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. This sounds like a particularly... not horrifying, but
frustrating at least.
Frustrating for the woman, definitely. And hopefully they have a man with whom they can be open and honest and have that conversation that is going to be patient with them and not make them more uncomfortable with the situation because of what's going on.
Yeah. Well, like so. We talked about, there's a lot to do. Communication can go a long way, and we've touched on that on a few things, and not just in sex in your relationship, but in everything in your relationship. But it doesn't need to stop at sex just because, you know, for some odd reason in our society, sex is that weird taboo thing we never want to talk about.
Right. It's just sex.
Sorry.
You have nothing to follow.
We said it's just sex. I'm like, yep, just good old sufficient sex.
Yeah, well, I mean, it shouldn't have that taboo. It's just sex. People get so weird about it.
Right. Everybody poops. Everybody has sex. Right.
Exactly. Not me lately, but you know, hey, I'm not bitter. Speaking of that, we do have a good episode on incel and stalking. So. Completely unrelated subject.
Oh, boy.
So, well, that's what I have on sexual dysfunction, Chris. How about you?
That's what I have on sexual dysfunction.
That's weird how we ended on the exact same word.
That's bizarre.
I know.
Yeah.
It's like we think alike, Chris.
Yeah. Or like we're reading from, it's like we're on the same page.
So, was there anything else I was going to add?
No.
Please, if you get a chance, go give Bob's podcast, Positive Life Podcast, a listen to and send him some love. Anyway, definitely give him a listen, see if that's something that you want to listen to on a regular basis, because I think he's got some decent things to say.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to get a hold of us, excuse me a second. Sorry, I ran out of water like 15 minutes ago.
Oh, no.
If you want to get a hold of us, you can get a hold of us on Twitter. We are at MedSideStuff, MedSideStuff. We are on Instagram at MedicalStuff52, and we are on Facebook at MedicalStuff.
If you'd like to send us an email, please do. We are at MedSideStuff@yahoo.com.
And just so everybody knows, this is a Mark My Words Media production. I am Mark. That is Chris. And on that note, we are
toast.